Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. And as I say to you almost every day, I hope it is food for you. Let me know. If you want me to talk about something more than another, just let me know. That can be helpful. It might be a month or two before you hear it, but I'll be glad to serve you in whatever way I can. So today we look at a reading from the letter of St. James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person with shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet, you have made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you dishonored the poor. Are not the rich oppressing you? And do they themselves not haul you off to court? Is it not they who blaspheme the noble name that was invoked over you? However, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's not easy, but God gives us the grace. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Brothers and sisters, how do you treat all the people that you see? I've asked you this before, but I want you to look at it again. How do I treat the people I work with? How do I treat people on the street, people in my own home? How do I treat people? I think we all could do a little examination of conscience. Because so often, people we've known for a long time, we take certain things for granted. And brothers and sisters, please be grateful to anyone who is a good friend, as I've told you some months ago. Anyone who has helped you in any way, remember them. Don't discard it. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to be with them, because he is. Please, brothers and sisters, take heed. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think of that. I love someone as much as I love myself. Do I do that? Do I put other people first in my life if I can? The needs that they might have, the help that they might need, am I willing? It doesn't mean you say, well, I can't time-wise. I'm not free to do that kind of thing. Fine, but you can pray for them. You can pray for anyone you see who's going through a difficult time, even if you don't know them. Pray for them, because God wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that's not easy sometimes. Ask God for grace. Psalm 34 tells us the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And believe me, lots of people are in worse circumstances than we are. But we're not exceedingly wealthy. We don't have a lot. We have what we need. And perhaps there are people among us listening to this program who don't even have that, don't always have the food they need. Do you ever think of offering them something? Do you often think of baking something and giving part to that person? Love one another as I have loved you. And you know how much God loves us. Well, perhaps we don't. We can't even imagine how much he loves us. But what he has done for us, let us do for others. Psalm 34 tells us, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. God hears the cry of the poor. Please, brothers and sisters, can we be instruments of that? You find somebody in your neighborhood who's sick or handicapped, as I've said to you before. You can find someone in your parish, somewhere in the stores that you go to. What about saying, is there anything I could do for you? Believe me, we would want somebody to say that to us if we were in difficulty. What about asking someone, what can I do for you? Can make all the difference, brothers and sisters, all the difference, because the verse before the gospel tells us, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. And that's what we need. That's what we need. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 33, Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And along the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said in reply, John the Baptist, some call you that, others Elijah, still others say you're one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said to him in reply, you are the Christ. Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly, and then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Brothers and sisters, what has God promised us that if we follow him, if we keep his word, confess our sin, stay as close as we can to him in our daily prayer, whatever we can, even if that prayer right now in our schedule is 15 minutes, see what you can do about your schedule, because God wants to help you. The scriptures tell us that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And Jesus turns around. Can you imagine that Peter didn't even really believe him? And he turned around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. And he said, get behind me, Satan. In other words, that thought didn't come from God. That idea didn't come from God. That prayer didn't come from God. It was Satan. It was Satan who was working in the hearts of people to turn them away from God himself. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be part of that. How are you doing on taking the name of Jesus improperly? Are you trying to get it out of your vocabulary? Please, brothers and sisters, let us be a people who love the Lord, who want to serve him, Oh, brothers and sisters, I just want us all to be together one day in heaven, and I want you to be right there with us. And I hope I will be there. I don't think of that as a conclusion, because I've made mistakes in my life, and it was hard to go to confession, but I was so gently received and forgiven that I felt like I was in the hands of God. There's graces to the priests. Don't hold back from confessing your sin, please, because I want you with us all in heaven, and you will too. You really will want to. Father Donald Haggerty, he's a priest of the Archdiocese of New York, and he said this in a little writing. He said, "We have to be careful at times not to pray, 'Thy will be done,' as if a secret agreement is present by which no divine testing in our life can take place without our approval. The words, 'rich as they are empty without our willingness to embrace unwelcome advances by God, asking our soul to offer more. The finer approach is to perceive in the inevitability of suffering a mark of divine love. It is to welcome the prospect of future offerings as means of union with a beloved who hung upon a cross. The thought of suffering does not frighten. It has been understood in love." Think of that. It's been understood in love. If I really love God, won't I do what he asks of me? Or won't I do what I know the commandments teach me to do? You've gotten into bad habits. We take the name of God in vain, certainly, all the time. I hear it, brothers and sisters. As I've said to you before about this, please take on the work that you need to do to get rid of any taking the Lord's name in vain in any way. Please, brothers and sisters, because God wants us, all of us, and I mean this, with him in heaven. And that doesn't mean it's easy. We have to put him first in our lives. And we have to live our lives in a way that our wives, our husbands, our children know it. Please, brothers and sisters, ask God for grace, because God does give grace. Little by little, he teaches us. And please, if you can, as I've said to you before, if you can go into a church, you pass a church each day on your way to work or from work, or the place is near you, can't you not stop in for 1 minute, genuflect, and just say, "God, I love you"? Please, brothers and sisters, it's not hard. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.